Welcome back to KVSC's NewsWatch program. I'm Fareed Gio. In January of 2009, Jeff Skiles and Sully Sullenberger landed their airliner in the Hudson River after a collision with a large flock of Canada geese caused both engines to flame out. Since then, Jeff Skiles has taken his newfound notoriety in stride as he has shifted from an everyday working pilot to an advocate for youth involvement in aviation. Skiles has also lobbied in Washington for improved pilot work rules and changes to pilot certification standards. Well, how long have you been a pilot?
Oh, I've been a pilot for 34 years now. Started when I was 16 years old.
And what was the first plane that you flew?
Well, Cessna 150 that I actually flew, you know, instruction-wise. But my parents were both pilots, and they had a Piper Tri-Pacer and then a Cessna 182.
Why do you think people trust you as a pilot?
Well, I don't know that they trust me over any other pilot, but I think, you know, all pilots have the responsibility of the lives of the passengers that they fly around, and they take that very seriously and conduct themselves appropriately.
You always say people know you for making Sully Sullenberger famous. Why do you think that is?
You know, people know Sully, and Sully wouldn't be anywhere if I hadn't flown that airplane into those birds.
Not that
I was intending to, but it just worked out that way.
And after a year after that particular experience of yours, what are some of the things that you look back and remember about that day?
Actually, I don't really think about it that much. Oddly enough, I think for both of us up in the cockpit, it wasn't a pivotal experience. You know, for us, I mean, obviously it's changed our lives, but the passengers in back, the flight attendants, it tended to be something that they looked at as a, you know, being that close to death and survived. And I don't think either Sully or I look at it that way. So it's not something that I really think about all that much, frankly.
And a lot of people were marveled at the skill involved. And of course, there was great skill involved in that successful landing. But how often did people tell you how great a pilot you were before you landed in the Hudson?
I guess not all that often. I mean, it's just, and the fact is that, you know, we're not, Sully and I, and Sully be the first one to say, too, I mean, we're not some sort of extraordinary pilots. What we did was we used the tools that the airline gave us, you know, our training, our teamwork, the procedures that were supposed to accomplish. You know, all we did was we did what we were supposed to do.
In the years since your splashdown, your life and your career have changed purpose. One of the things that you're doing now is serving as co-chair of the Experimental Aircraft Association's Young Eagles program. Why'd you do this?
Well, I did it because I was asked, but I'm very excited about it. I mean, I was very humbled to be asked to do it. I mean, the previous co-chairmen have, Cliff Robertson and Chuck Yeager and Harrison Ford. So, I mean, to be put into that kind of stratosphere is certainly humbling for just, you know, an average guy from Wisconsin. What I'm really excited about is that, you know, I mean, frankly, we have kind of a problem in the industry. You know, pilots aren't, new pilots learning to fly aren't teenagers anymore like they were when I was. They're like 40-year-old guys who got some money and want to try something new. And ultimately, that's going to be, you know, the death of general aviation. If we can't do something to get young children, you know, young kids involved in aviation, excited about aviation, and that's something that the EAA has recognized, and they're pretty much about the only organization out there that can, in fact, advocate for this, and they've started a Young Eagles program in 1992, which is, to date, has flown over 1.5 million kids. We just need to keep working on that and expanding that just to get the pilots of tomorrow into aviation today.
And that's something that the EAA has talked about, pathways to participation as far as getting people who have no experience but are certainly interested in flying on a path toward either a career or maybe just to enjoy it. What are some of the things you enjoy about flying?
Yeah, you know what I enjoy about flying? I mean, obviously I'm an airline pilot, and there's a certain satisfaction in, say, conducting approach to minimums or sitting up at 37,000 feet looking at, you know, picking your way through a thunderstorm line. But, you know, what I missed about general aviation, and I recently got back into it, was just flying low and slow, you know, 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet in the air, looking at the farms, looking a bird's eye view on life. It kind of transports you away from, you know, the problems that you might think that you have every day, every time you go in the air and look on the earth from, you know, a different vantage point.
What can pilots and children who want to participate in the Young Eagles program do to become involved?
If a pilot wants to get involved, and I know I've talked to a number of people that have joined the EAA specifically to fly Young Eagles, you can join your local chapter. And local chapters will have Young Eagle events, you know, periodically throughout the year where they'll fly Young Eagles. If you're a child that wants to get involved, anywhere from 8 to 17, you can go on the web at www.youngeagles.org, and there's all kinds of information there, and you can set yourself up. They'll contact somebody in your local area to arrange a ride.
And the nice thing about that program is that you don't even need an event to do that. If you find a pilot who's an EAA member and get them to do a Young Eagles ride, and pilots the same thing, if you're an EAA member, you can give a Young Eagles ride anytime you want, and that's how accessible it seems to be for kids, at least to introduce them to the program.
That's true. It doesn't have to be at an organized event. It can be a one-on-one situation where you're just flying with the Young Eagle pilot. And if you happen to be a teenager and you're interested in perhaps learning how to fly, you also get a free ground school, you know, for your private pilot's license.
That's right. A company that sells pilot supplies is teamed with the EAA to. If you take a Young Eagles ride, you get access to a free online ground school course. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a relatively new development just last year. And in fact, just recently, the very first Young Eagle took their written test and passed it. Nice young man from Michigan who I coincidentally happened to have run into in December at an event in Ohio.
Oh, well, that must have been nice for both of you.
Yeah, in fact, I just called him up to thank him congratulate him on passing his written test just a couple days ago.
I bet you can't wait to fly some Young Eagles in your new/old Waco.
I'm really looking forward to it. I've already got several events here in southern Wisconsin on the calendar in May, so I'll probably be just about every Saturday going to one EHS or another flying Young Eagles. At least I hope I will.
Tell me a little bit about that Waco that you just acquired last fall.
It's a 1935 cabin Waco, and seats four people. It's a big biplane with a radial engine. It's in, you know, relatively good shape, actually, for airplanes of that age. This particular one has had a complete restoration just about 10 years ago. And it's a lot of fun to fly. You know, it gets a lot of attention wherever it goes, and I'm looking forward to this year.
One of the other things that you've been doing is talking to Congress about pilot work rules, known as crew duty and rest rules. Plus, you've also been addressing pilot qualifications and pilot records. The Colgan air crash in Buffalo a year ago really connected the public with these abstract rules that has always been a thorn in the side of the industry for a long time. What, in your opinion, needs to change?
You know, I think it's the contrast between the two accidents. You know, our incident, which had two over 20,000-hour, you know, very experienced pilots and had an extremely positive outcome. And then their incident, which, you know, obviously, I was at the NTSB hearing just last Tuesday listening to the presentation, and it was essentially two pilots that really shouldn't have been in the position they were in. They simply didn't have the experience to fly such a complex airplane. Anyways, for the last year, my organization has been advocating in Washington for changes to the whole slate of things that affect pilots, from training records to flight time, duty time, as you say, how long you can be on duty and, you know, what kind of rest you need. And a very comprehensive bill, the House of Representatives last fall, which if we can get it enacted, would be probably the biggest change and the biggest influence on safety and aviation since the FAA was formed back in the 1950s. The problem we're having is getting it even on the floor of the Senate. The other problem we have in the Senate is they don't really seem to feel any need to add any kind of pilot experience requirement. What we're advocating for is that these are high-performance jet airplanes, and to have somebody with a minimal qualification of an airline transport pilot's license instead of a commercial license is absolutely necessary to have the experience to fly these airplanes. That's the issue we're having trouble with right now, is getting the Senate to understand that an airline transport pilot's license is a critical step to to creating a well-rounded pilot. We do have Senator Schumer of New York has introduced legislation to amend the Senate version to include the airline transport pilot license. He obviously had our incident and the unfortunate Buffalo incident in his backyard and has obviously seen the difference in the outcomes from having experienced pilots and inexperienced pilots, and he absolutely feels that we need to mandate having a higher standard for the entry to the cockpits of our airliners.
On Friday, you'll be walking with the family members of those who died in that crash as they symbolically complete the final miles of that flight. What challenges are unique to being a pilot at a regional airline? Do you think the public was surprised, for example, that the first officer couldn't afford to live at her home base?
I think absolutely. I think people have a understanding that to be a pilot is a professional position. And certainly if you're riding in back, you would hope that the pilots up front are professionals and experienced. And the fact that, you know, most regional first officers are making about $18,000 a year, which is, you know, you can't get a professional pilot for fast food wages. And that's really the way the industry has gone to provide, you know, the very cheapest ticket. But, you know, the reality is that the cost of an experienced pilot is not astronomical. At my own airline, which is a mainline airline, U.S. Airways, you know, what you in back are paying for both the flight crew, their wages, their benefits up in the cockpit, what you're paying out of your pocket is $3.41 an hour of flight. So if you're flying to Florida, you're going to pay $7 for an experienced, capable cockpit flight crew of two pilots with both with ATPs and both with thousands and thousands of hours. I don't think that's something that anybody would not want to pay if they were in the back of that airplane.
Finally, talk a little bit about fatigue and how important that factors into the safety of commercial flying.
Well, it's a big factor in commercial flying. I mean, I know myself. I mean, I've, you know, flown under the current regulations for decades, and you know, there's times where it's extremely fatiguing. There's studies that show after 13 hours on duty, you have the reaction times of somebody who's legally drunk, even though you're not drunk. Airline pilots can be forced to fly up to 16 hours on duty. So you could just imagine that if you're flying a last flight going home at night and it's 10 o'clock at night and it's in the clouds and the weather's bad and there's icing or thunderstorms, you know, think about the fact that pilot up front may have been on the job since 6 a.m. that morning. You know, I think you can understand how fatiguing that might be. Anybody that travels would understand that.
Jeff, thanks very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.
Jeff Skiles is a pilot for U.S. Airways. He is also co-chairman with Sully Sullenberger of the EAA Young Eagles program. You're listening to KVSC.